kristendomens regler. Offensivens man, soldat i Jesu namn. För fränder, fosterland och konung. Genom elden ska han gå. Opåverkad inför öden.
참 좋아해. On the hills and far away, 내 말이 배태라 어디. From across the isles to wilderness, on high and hill, the sun she sets, 내 말이 배태라.
And I sing hoes, Stockton calls, Stockton calls. I sing hoes, Stockton calls, Stockton calls.
Runners, runner comes over the shed.
The things that make a soldier great and send him out to die, to face the flaming cannon's mouth and never question why. When lilacs by a little porch, a row of tulips red, the peonies and pansies too, the old petunia bed, the grass plot where his children play, roses on the wall. 'Tis these that make a soldier great. He's fighting for them all. It's not the pomp and pride of kings that make a soldier brave. Not allegiance to the flag over him may wave, for soldiers never fight so well on land or on the foam as when behind the cause they see called home. In danger, but that humble street whereon his children run. Make a soldier of the man who never bore a gun. Valiant soldier sees the little garden far away, the budding apple trees, the little patch of ground back there, the children at their play. Perhaps a tiny mound behind a simple church or grave. The golden thread of courage isn't linked to castle dome, but to the spot where'er it be, the humble spot called home. Now the lilacs bloom again, all is lovely there. Homesick soldiers far away, no spring is in the air. Tulips come to bloom again, the grass once more is green. Every man can see the spot where all his joys have been. He sees his children smile, the bugle call. Only death can stop him now. He's fighting for them all.
light is almost gone. The birds have sung their last. The bells call out to mass. Seat here by my side, for the night is very long. There's something I must tell before I pass along. I join the brotherhood. My books were all to me. I scribe the words of God and much of history. Many here was I, which doubt upon the sea. The waves would wash my tears, the wind my memory. I'd hear the ocean breathe, exhaled upon the shore. I knew the tempest blood, its wrath I would endure. And so the years went by within my rocky cell. With only a mouse or a bird, my friend and loved me well. And so it came to pass, I'd come here to Romani. Many here it took, till I arrived here with thee. The dusty roads I walked, and over mountains high, through rivers running deep, beneath the endless sky.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the By Yahweh's Design broadcast for the 18th day of September, year 2022. I am your host, Pastor Dan, and the topic for today's broadcast is Welcome. We dedicate this broadcast to our Heavenly Father, Yahweh, who is the great I Am. We also dedicate this broadcast to His holy remnant, who are the believing sons and daughters of Jacob, who was later named Israel. Today, these people are known as the Caucasian, or the true Israelite peoples of the world. Hallelujah, which means all praise Yahweh in ancient or Paleo Hebrew. Notice I did not say Yiddish. To my Welsh kinsmen across the ocean, Shumai, and welcome to the program. Prinhanda Cumri Ambith. Our website is www.pastordan.net, and Pastor Dan is all together, no spaces, pastordan.net. We draw your attention to the Daily Mail page where we put current events information, also updates on any kind of prepper news, health issues, and identity and earth change type topics. The home page, you'll find information for those who wish to help us out with a donation if you feel so led. There's also a page called Contact Us. And if you do not have my personal contact information, that's one way you can get a message to us. We do solicit constructive criticism. However, if you're a troll or somebody that's just going to try to make trouble, you are instantly deleted. Remember, our Heavenly Father will never take you where the grace of our Father will not protect you. Read the stories about Phinehas and Gideon if you care to test that. Also Joshua, Abraham, and many, many of the other characters in our scriptures about our people. No, they were not Jews. Christ was not a Jew. It's our history. It has been usurped by interlopers who are pretending. They are the Revelation 2:9 and 3:9. So, and Jennifer, thank you for that. And thank you for monitoring us there, Ella, as well, and some, and the inputs that have been coming in for many, many people. If we have any of the folks from School of the Prophets and the newcomers over there, that's one of the reasons I picked the topic welcome, because within the past week, we are getting a lot of information of the tremendous awakening that seems to be going on right now amongst our people. Not only of the nefarious activities of these scoundrels called man-made government and man-made religions and corporations and banks, but also a yearning for the truth of our Heavenly Father. People have finally realized that the mainstream churches are actually tombs, whitewashed tombs full of dead men's bones. You're not going to hear the truth of our Father in those institutions. They are products of the state, especially since they accepted the 501c3 classification from the Internal Revenue Service, which is the I really steal people, scoundrels, monsters, communists. They accepted that designation to save on tax money, which they never had to pay anyway. Churches have been exempt from taxation from day one. There was absolutely no reason for them to do that, but they listened to their lawyers, probably Jewish lawyers, and they went ahead and filed for 501c3 status, which gave the government the power to dictate what they could or could not preach about from the pulpit. That should have been an instantaneous sign that it was wrong, the wrong thing to do. But again, our people, me, you know, the Caucasian race today worships money. Now, the people that are coming out of that, of course, don't, but that has been the enemy's inroad to seduce our people and get us to follow these unbiblical and detrimental processes, if you will, in the world today that are not only detrimental to us as individuals, but detrimental to our race. You have to remember, three-quarters of Scripture is written to our people as a nation, which means as a race. Three-quarters doesn't have to deal with anything as at an individual level. It's for the salvation of our race. And yet the modern-day church world has turned it into 180 degrees out. Yep, upside down, good evil, calling good evil and evil good. So they've made it a personal salvation thing. Just come on down and pray the sinner's prayer and we'll lay hands on you. You're good to go for the rest of your life. Oh, by the way, on the way out, make sure you throw $20, $30 in the plate. Okay, everything's about the money nowadays, which is exactly the opposite of the way it is supposed to be. I got a letter here from our dear brother from Wales, Michael, who's a traveler, a teacher, and he spends a lot of time on the road, and he sent me a note this morning, and I'm going to read that to you here in just a little bit. And Ella, thank you very much. I did get that one. So looks like we're 5x5 on the audio stream, so that is good news. And praise Yahweh for all the things that he has opened up to us and the beautiful music that I've been collecting, 30 years now. I've been collecting digital copies of some of the best identity and white patriotic people's music. Much of it donated to me, by the way, because people say, well, Dan, there might be a copyright on that or protected. Yeah, except that the vast majority of it is stuff from people I personally had the honor of knowing and gave me permission to use their music. And again, so praise Yahweh for that. We do say, though, if you like the music, if you're watching live anyway, it tells you the name of the artist and the album. And we encourage people to go ahead and support the artist by obtaining their material, much like the books that we send out. If I send out an electronic copy of a book, I say, honor the author of the book. If you find it of value, honor him in two ways. One, buy a hard copy to support the author, but it also puts a hard copy on the shelf of your library. Because if for some reason all of this electronic crap goes to hell, you'll have your hard copy on the shelf. You see, they've got us seduced into, the internet and your computers and electrical power, they'll always be there. Go back to sleep, little one. Yep, it'll always be there. Don't you fret. And yet I've had friends here lately have been to, like, gas stations or convenience stores or even some of the big box stores, and guess what? Oh, we can't sell anything today because the computer's down. Really? Now, when computers first came out, I remember those days, including at the power plants that I worked in. We always had a secondary system to do things manually, even at stores, okay? They could still write a receipt. They could still take cash and make change. Now, if the computer goes down, they just stop business altogether. Do you see how that works? They entangle you. Remember, the road to hell is covered with convenience. That's how Satan's kids get you. They dangle a little convenience in front of you, and next thing you know, you got another hook in you. That's how the enemy works. Let's see here. I wanted a couple other things. These quotes, I'm going to say them again because there's much value in these quotes. They're almost like scripture. You don't have to memorize them completely, but memorize the concept. I've never tried to memorize scripture, ever. I remember there was I think his name was Van Imp. There was a preacher years ago, and he bragged all the time, I've memorized 10,000 verses of scripture. Yeah, and you don't have a single one of interpreted right. So what good is it to memorize 10,000 verses or whatever it was he knew if you don't know the truth of the scripture? Because most of it has been mistranslated. So one of the first ones here is Richard Buckminster Fuller. You never change things by fighting the existing reality. Now pay attention. You never change things by fighting the existing reality. To change something, build a new model that makes the existing model obsolete. This gets back to my quote of Oh, it's skipping my head here. Oh, Voltaire. I'm pretty sure it was Voltaire who said that. No, I'm sorry. It was Henry David Thoreau. For every 1,000 people swinging at the branches of the tree of evil, there's only one striking at the root. So it's 1,000 to 1. So for every one of our people who typically are the identity believers, we're chopping at the root of this tree because we want to bring the whole damn tree down. Everybody else is swatting at the branches. Oh, they're after my guns. Oh, the taxation issue. Oh, the documentation issue. Oh, the citizenship issue. The sovereign issue. I mean, they've got 1,000 issues where they have done us wrong. The money issue. The government stepping on the Constitution issue. The IRS issue. The Federal Reserve issue. They're all tentacles, all branches from this tree of evil, as Thoreau called it. But who's looking at the root? And where do you, how do you find the root? My grandfather taught me that when I was a little boy. Danny, if you want to find out what's going on in the world, especially the world of politics, if you want to know why something's being done, follow the money. It will lead you to the source every time. Follow the money. Because everything going on today is all about the money. And why is that? Because that's the only God in the world of the Jew. Just a fact, okay? If you can dispute that, come on my show. We do have a way to take guests. So you dispute it. Come on and debate us if that isn't true. Look at them. They cover themselves in silver and gold, ornaments, necklaces, big thick necklaces, jewels, etc. They put the name of silver and gold in as many names as you can find. Because there is no hereafter for the Jew. And a lot of people don't know that. I've had friends of mine say, you know, there was a rabbi on the radio just the other day, and what you said about the Jews is true. I never knew that. We always just assumed that they believed the, quote, Torah, the Bible, and the God of the Bible. Really? Then why don't they believe in a hereafter? Because they don't have a hereafter. That's why Christ said, beware, there are those here who are condemned already. They're your enemy. They're not going to do anything in this world to build up their hereafter, or as the scripture says, to lay up your treasure on the other side of the firmament. Because there is no other side to the firmament for them. This is it. This under the dome, this region we call earth, that's all they've got. That's why they're so pressed to turn this into a hell. Okay? Because this is their heaven. This is it. This is the best they're ever going to get. We can't understand that, those of us who know who we are. And now they're hell-pressed on trying to make all of our race Jews. They're trying to Judaize the world, get us all to think like them, that perversion is okay, transgenderism and transsexualism is okay. Next it'll be pedophilia and bestiality, sex with animals. It'll all be okay because in their world it is, because they're perverts. And they've convinced you that it's okay for them to be perverts. Somehow it makes you a better Christian to accept their abominations. Speaking of that, Ella has sent me a great little write-up taking apart the English word adultery as it is found in Scripture and proving beyond a shadow of a doubt that it is talking about race mixing. It is completely undeniable that that verse including in the Ten Commandments, has nothing to do with the marital status of the people involved in the sexual act. It has everything to do with their race. That can also be backed up by the book called The Sixth Law by Pastor V, as in Victor, Victor Sierra, V.S. Harrell, H-E-R-R-E-L-L. And I read that book many years ago. I ordered a copy of it, hard copy of it, for like $5 is all he was asking for. It's not a very big book, but I'm going to tell you something. That's one of the best books I ever read, because the entire book only has to do with that one verse in Scripture in Exodus talking about the sixth law. And why is it called the sixth law? Because in your English Bible, it's not the sixth commandment. That's because Pastor Harrell went back to the Septuagint, which is the Greek Old Testament. And in the Septuagint, it is the sixth commandment. And that's why it's called the sixth law. Thou shalt not mongrelize is what the Greek is actually saying. And again, I'll send you both the article by Ella, which does a super job on nailing that, and the work of Pastor Harrell, because between the two of them, if you can't figure out that we're not supposed to be laying with other races, then you're just a complete idiot. And you really need to go away. Get away from us, all right? We're not like the regular believers out there that go to these whitewashed sepulchers, and all they want to do is try to get their crowd up. And we got to have a bigger choir, and we got to sing more music because we want to fill the pews. Why? Because if the pews are full, we bring in more money. See, the church world, the mainstream church world, that's what they're all about today. They've become Judaized. It's all about the money. It doesn't matter that you're not teaching the truth anymore, that you're not the watchman on the wall that the preachers and pastors were supposed to be, the prophets of old, watchmen. The watchmen have been bought off and bribed. They're like deaf and dumb dogs just laying up on the porch, and there's a prowler, there's a coyote or a wolf out there getting ready to come in and eat some of the sheep or eat some of the chickens, and the dog's laying up there deaf and dumb. Oh, yeah, there's a bad thing out there, but you know, my belly's full. I got a lot of these electronic shekels from the Jew in my belly, so I think I'm just going to lay here and keep my mouth shut. That's your modern-day church. And these pieces of shit called pastors and preachers. And excuse my French, but sometimes you just can't keep back in calling a spade a spade. That's what they are. They are detestable. The scriptures actually tell us that they are such an abomination to our Heavenly Father that the day will come when their own parents will help hunt them down for judgment. Let that sink in for all of you pretenders out there who say you preach the word of the living God. The day will come when he will release us to come after you, and your own parents will help to hunt you down for what you have done in this sick, demented world we live in. You have led your congregations to the slaughter, as the scripture says. You've led your congregations into race mixing. You've led your congregations into worshiping man-made government as if it's God, completely ignoring the scripture where thou shalt not mongrelize. And as Peter said, if it's a choice between God's law and man's law, you must choose God's law. It doesn't say, well, it's highly suggested. No, it says you must choose. Or did you guys figure out, forget what English means? When you use the word must, it means you have to do it. You shall do it. Not you should do it, but you shall do it. So, Richard Buckminster Fuller has it right. We just need to build a new model, come out of this Babylonian bullshit system, this totally dystopic society we live in, and build a better model. And praise Yahweh, that's starting to happen. Within the last 2 weeks, the men are reaching out. They're reaching out to form a righteous army. Some call it the militia or the posse. Men of our race are reaching out to form ranks in a righteous army. At the same time, our people are looking to come out of corporate America. A very dear friend of mine who is a high-level corporate job has finally said, I'm done. I made that decision back in 2015. I'm done. I'm done with corporate America. I'm done with working for retards. I'm done from working for Jews and for women and minorities. And ladies, I don't mean to step on toes, but you don't belong in the workplace. You don't. And I'm being completely honest. In all my years in the military and in the electrical power industry, in all those years, I really don't even recall one truly qualified minority or woman in all those years. Were they co-workers? Did we get along? Sure we did. But to be honest, as a technician, as an engineer, were there very many of you that were as good or better than the white guys in the group? The answer is no. Did we tolerate it? Yeah, because we were paid to. We were bribed. We were brainwashed. The corporate structure said, you will accept diversity or we'll fire you. You will accept diversity or you'll never get a promotion. That's how it's done. People say, well, how could they get away with this? All they had to do was threaten the paycheck. I saw it happen time after time after time. I'd go up to the boss or some of the guys. I used to be a shop steward. Before I became an engineer, I was a shop steward. So I know all about the union rules and the company contract and all that. And I would go up and I would say, why are we doing this? I'd go up to the office and why are we doing some of these stupid ass things that we're doing? Oh, don't worry about it, Dan. Just keep quiet. It's what the bosses want. It's what downtown wants. It's what the sixth floor wants. Well, who sits up on the sixth floor? Who's downtown? The Jew. Once you learn the identity message, you start figuring it out. Yeah. Just follow the money, as Grandpa said, and it'll always take you back to who's doing it, and that will always take you back to Jews. Every time. Every time. And some people will say, oh, Dan, but wait a minute, it was this Anglo. No, that Anglo has Jews in his pocket. That Anglo has strings attached to him. He's just a puppet like Ted Kennedy, one of the biggest pieces of shit to ever exist. Ralph Waldo Emerson, in his book and The Value of Good Works, says, if a man can write a better book, preach a better sermon, or make a better mousetrap than his neighbors, though he builds his house in the woods, meaning far away, the world will make a beaten path to his door. That's you and me, guys. Let's build a better model. Let's build a better mousetrap. Preach the better sermon, write the better book, and the world will seek us out. There's so many people who have said, Dan, we got to recruit. Recruit. That's what the enemy does. Recruit. You go out and you promise things or you try to goad them into doing the right thing. No. How many times did Christ himself, our Aryan Christ, the Messiah, how many times did he go out and grab somebody by the shoulders and shake them and say, you've got to listen to me. I'm telling you the truth. Not once. What did he tell us to do? Go out and preach the truth. Go to the cities, go to the towns, go throughout the countryside. And if they listen, then stay and teach. But if they don't, knock the dust off your feet and keep right on going. That's the problem with our people. We think we can save all of our people. No, you can't. The scripture says it. Logic says it. History says it. There's a lot of our people that need to be thinned out of the herd. I'm telling you. I see them every day. I have some that I call friends, coworkers, even family. And to be quite honest, do they need to be thinned out? Yeah, they do. I hate to say it, but they do. Because at this point in time, if you haven't woke up, if you don't realize the trouble we're in, if you can't see the demonic element of this world, you're lost. You're lost. And also, we have to remember, our Father said, I'm going to cleanse my house first. We keep saying, well, Yahweh, you've got to destroy all these wicked, evil Jews and all these races that are causing all the problem. You got to understand something. Those are all punishments on a people who have not repented, have not turned away from this war, the way of the world, back to our Father, the Creator, who put the white man and white woman on this earth. I had a discussion with probably one of the highest IQ guys I know here recently, and he was talking about all these things, and he sort of got into the evolutionary thing, and I said, no, that's your biggest mistake. We're not here by evolution. There is no evolutionary evidence, especially of the white race. None. There are no fossil records, no skeletal remains that go back more than about 8,000 years. We're not here by evolution. We were put here to tend the garden, which means keep the earth. This earth, this plane, this patch of dirt that our Heavenly Father made. Okay? And we're not doing it. Why is the world in travail right now? Why is the world like a woman getting ready to have a child and all this pain and struggling? Because the world's upside down because the white man's sitting on his ass. The very people that the Creator put here to change things are sitting on their ass. But I'm going to tell you something. That's not going to be forever. And it won't be the entire white race. He's got to get rid of those who are unworthy. And that's happening. They're dying from putting that poison in their arms. They're dying from going to hospitals. They're dying from taking pharmaceutical drugs. They're dying from taking illegal drugs. They're dying from smoking cancer-laden cigarettes. They're dying from a shit diet called the SAD diet, the standard American diet, which is nothing but poisons, chemicals, dyes. They're not getting sunshine. They're not getting exercise. And they have bad thinking. They don't think correctly. Or as Ellis says here, repent means to rethink. Yes, repent, pent, pent, pent. Just like in the French word, penser, to think, penser. P-E-N-S-E-R, penser, to think. Repent. Reprioritize. Rethink things. Stop going along with the mainstream. In Revelation chapter 18 and verse 4, and another voice from heaven came to my ears saying, come out of her, my people, that you may have no part in her sins and in her punishments. Who's the her here? Her is Mystery Babylon, the Babylonian system. Babylon, by the way, comes from the Hebrew word Babel, or Babel, as in the Tower of Babel. And the Hebrew word and the word Babylon, which comes from the Greek equivalent to the Hebrew word, all mean the same thing. Confusion. Does that sound like it might fit for today? Confusion, but not just any confusion. Confusion caused by admixture. Now, some people will have to grab their dictionaries for that one. Admixture means the same thing as adultery. You adulterate something by using admixture, which means putting things together that don't belong. So, are we in Mystery Babylon? You bet your ass we are. We're putting God's word and man's word and rules together. They don't belong together. He's our lawgiver, not men. Man has no authority for law. The law has already been given through our Creator. The admixture of races with race mixing going on like crazy. The admixture of sexes, people that are male trying to be female and female trying to be male. Okay? The admixture of lies and deceptions that people are putting out as if they're truths. You see, the whole world is suffering because of this Babylon that we live in. So he says, come out of her. Again, we get back to what Mr. Fuller said. Build a new model. Or as Mr. Emerson said, build a better mousetrap. All we have to do is stand for the truth. And the right people will be drawn to it like a magnet. Just as Messiah and his 12 Benjaminite disciples. Every one of the disciples was of the tribe of Benjamin. Did you know that? Benjamin, of course, means son of my right hand. That's a biblical way of saying son of my power, son of my strength. Where did the Benjaminites go? The country today is called Iceland. Yep, the Nordics. The Icelanders are the Benjaminites of old. Now, our people have traveled all over the world, so there are Benjaminites in other nations, of course. But the concentration of our tribe of Benjamin ended up in Iceland. And it's kind of funny that that little nation, per capita, produces more hymns and gospel information than any nation on earth. Per capita. Meaning, by population size. So the 12 disciples that Christ surrounded himself with were Benjaminites. The other term or the nickname for them was light bearers. They were bringing light to the world. What does light represent in Scripture? It means knowledge. Knowledge of our Father, knowledge of His ways. The opposite of darkness, which is ignorance and leading a life that's counter to the Word of God. So think about that. 2 Chronicles 7:14, we've talked about this one many, many times. This is the formula for our people. If my people, on whom my name is named, basically it's saying, for those people who not only know my name, but use my name. Now the church world says, well, his name is God or the Lord. Really? Those are titles, folks. In fact, Lord comes from the Hebrew Baal or Baal, B-A-A-L, which is a term for the evil one. So those who call on my name make themselves low or humble and come to me in prayer, searching for me, which in Scripture is seeking my face, meaning seeking my wisdom, and turning from their evil or wicked ways. So this is a conditional statement here. If, in the world of electronic procedure writing, which I did for 20 years, it's called an if statement. An if-then statement is a conditional statement. It's basically like logic for those people that work in computers and build ladder logics, diagrams and things, okay? So if then is saying that if all the conditions of the if statement are true, then you get a certain outcome. Okay? If you get them all, like an AND gate in the world of computer logic, an AND gate says that if all the inputs are positive, then you get the positive output, which is exactly what an if-then statement is doing in words. So my people have to call upon my name. They have to humble themselves. They have to pray, which is what? Just communication with the Father, a conversation. Searching out His wisdom, not man-made law. And then repent or turn away from your what? Transgression of his law. Start eating a biblical clean diet. Start treating your brothers as family instead of bashing each other and stabbing each other with a knife and gossiping. Those are all sins. Then statement is, then I will give ear, meaning I will hear from heaven and forgive them their sin and heal their land. Okay, so everybody wants the second part, the then stuff. Hey, Father, listen, but they forget about the if part. If my people, that's the problem with our people. They have the putting the cart before the horse, right? Ellis got up here in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 33, that our Father Yahweh does not cause confusion. Absolutely, he is the opposite. In Zephaniah chapter 2 at verse 3, seek Yahweh, all you humble of the land. Most white people have forgotten that trait. So have a lot of other people, but particularly the white race. I see very little humility in our people today. They're pompous, they're arrogant, they are demeaning. All you humble of the land who have kept his ordinances. What are his ordinances? Those are the law. Leviticus, Deuteronomy, etc. Seek Yahweh, all you humble of the land who have kept his ordinances. Seek righteousness. Seek humility. It may be that you will be hidden in the day of Yahweh's anger. You're in it right now. You're watching this whole world starting to fall apart. We're going to talk a little bit about that here too. Some of the things that are coming into my in basket is amazing. So here again. So it may be that you will be hidden, covered, protected in the day of Yahweh's anger. So if you want protection, don't be thinking all those bullets and guns is going to protect you or hanging out with a bunch of other white guys. We as individuals and as a band of brothers need to pay attention to the first part of that verse. Seek Yahweh. Seek our Father. We're his children. All you humble of the land who have kept his ordinances. So is it important to obey the Father's laws? For instance, the food laws and stay away from those damn shellfish and pork? Yeah. And as a professional holistic practitioner, I can tell you that in all the classes that I took, they often told us these are the foods that you should avoid because the human body wasn't made to digest them. And guess what they were? Pork was number one. Shellfish. Things like rabbit. And guess what? Those that chew the cud and have a cloven or split hoof, those are the clean. Deer, elk, cattle, buffalo, sheep, goats. That's where you get your meat. You don't get it from all the other creatures out there. And in the waters, it's those with fins and scales. Both fins and scales. So all you catfish people, you're eating a scavenger. Typically, it's the scavengers that Father doesn't want you to eat. Why? Because they have a digestive system that's made to eat carrion, dead things. Things that eat dead things are not meant for food. It's all logical. It's all so simple. So simple. Matthew 10, verse 26, therefore do not be afraid of them, meaning all these other assholes, for there is nothing covered that will not be revealed or hidden that will not be known. Amen. That's where we're at today in this world. It's all being revealed. And that's why I believe the Great Awakening is happening and our people are finally realizing we've been lied to. We've been lied to since we were born. Lied to since we were born. I want to read this letter from our dear brother from Wales, a Welsh kinsman. He's over in Poland. So here's what he's got to say. Yes, have talked about following the way. That's what we used to call ourselves, followers of the way or covenanters. We never used the term Christian. Christianos in the Greek was a term of derision used by the Romans and others to denigrate followers of the way. So he says, I have talked about following the way with a few of the Polish folks here. However, do not know who the enemy is here, so I have not mentioned the serpent race, referring to Jews, of course. Unfortunately, I have witnessed the majority opinion that the enemy have been badly treated here. The programming and control is extremely deep in Poland. On the positive side, I rarely have seen any non-whites here in Poland. I have seen zero Negroes. That's over a period of 3 weeks in four different cities. So that is encouraging. In August, I was in three different cities in the north of Portugal. Porto, Braga, and Coimbra, I think that's how you pronounce it. Alas, there has been great race mixing with the Arab and Negro there. So there is only a small minority of clean white DNA. In my time, I've traveled extensively in Spain. It is riddled with mixed DNA, especially Arab, in central and southern Spain. However, in the north and dotted around, I have seen pure Caucasian Spanish. Castellanos is what I use for them. Castellanos, Castilians. To conclude on this, from my own eyes, study, and experience, these are the European countries where I believe the DNA is the most pure today in 2022. Wales. Now, I'm a Welshman on my father's side. Cymraeg in their language, okay? Cymru, named after the Israelite king Cymru. Wales, and I bring this up because the Welsh language is ancient Hebrew. Not Jewish, not Yiddish, they're the imposter people. The genuine Hebrew people are our people. And one of the proofs of that is when you go to Wales and you listen to the Welsh people talking in the native tongue, you are listening to the ancient tongue of our people. Further evidence of that is some Welshmen went down to Egypt to visit the Great Pyramids, and this presenter was speaking to them in this assembly, and up on the screen he had hieroglyphics. Now, most of us have never studied hieroglyphics. I haven't, so I don't know how to pronounce them, but this guy was a Egyptologist, and he understood hieroglyphics. So he's reading the text of this hieroglyphic up on the screen, and the Welshmen, all three of them, jumped up and said, I know what you're saying. And the presenter was astonished. He said, how do you know? And they said, well, obviously we don't know hieroglyphics, so we had no idea what that was saying, but as you were pronouncing the hieroglyphs, you're speaking Welsh. At least close enough that we could understand the context of what you're saying. That's how close it was. It's also indicative, and I'm reading a history book that I will give a report on when I'm finished with it, that was written in 1848, where the author was doing the research on the fact that North America, so that's the United States and Canada, was inhabited by Israelites, and that the native tongues of these white Indians, because Indians is a improper term. They were Israelites that were left here and had migrated here thousands and thousands of years ago and stayed. They became the Iroquois nation, like the Huron, and Algonquin. They became the Comanche and the probably the Nez Perce and the rest of them, the Sioux. Back in the day, the Mandan Indians in the Ohio Valley, again, their languages were Celtic. And there's a book called The Tennessee in your library. If you go read it, it will tell the story of a pilgrim here in the 1600s who was captured. And it turned out he was a Welshman. He was captured and taken to an Indian village. I believe it was in either Tennessee or Kentucky. But it was along the Tennessee River. And they tied him up and they were discussing what to do with him. And the Welshman started talking to them. And they just were astonished. They looked at him and said, "How do you know our tongue?" And he said, "Well, you're speaking my tongue," which was Welsh. So they cut him loose and let him go. Part of this book that I'm reading is going to go into the great chief called Tecumseh, who was one of our people, by the way. Okay? This history is coming out. So again, I'm reading these countries where Michael thinks there's still a lot of the pure DNA white race left. And he starts out with the land of my father's origins in Wales and Ireland. So Wales, England, Scotland, and Ireland. Slovakia. Czechia. Poland. France. Norway. Sweden. Denmark. Iceland. Belgium. The Netherlands. Germany. Austria. And Finland. These are the nations today where our people are the purest, because they are, whether they realize it or not, they are following Yahweh's law about racial purity better than the other nations. I know for a fact that Italy, especially southern Italy, just like southern Spain, is heavily race mixed. Heavily race mixed. But if you go into the north, remember our people always go to the north. The north of Spain, the north of Italy, and particularly Italy, were the Lombards. Again, the ancient Israelites, the Lombards of northern Italy, look Irish. I used to work with a gal, bright red hair and blue eyes. And she told me, she goes, "Oh, I'm Italian." I said, "You're lying." I said, "You're Irish. You have to be Irish." She goes, "No, I'm not. I'm Italian." That was at the beginning of my learning about identity and everything else. And so I was astonished. And I found it to be true with one of the guys that worked for me. His name was Stephen, and he was a carpenter. And he would come in for instructions on what to do for the day. And we'd sit and talk. And he was the same as the gal, Debbie. Red hair, freckles. I thought he was Irish, and here he was Italian. Simonini. So these are the nations that seem to have obeyed our Heavenly Father more than the rest of them. Michael continues in his letter, "There is hope. We have not all been adulterated. So there is a reasonably large gene pool for real faith to take hold in. Yes, I know the real believers are few, but it is not completely hopeless. Yahweh still has a good working minority of the elect surviving today in Europe." By the way, the word Europe comes from Europa, which means white face. White face. "All we are waiting for now is the day and the hour. I truly hope for the good of all that it comes soon. May Yahweh bless your heart, Brother Dan." And again, that's our dear, dear friend Michael, who travels quite a bit, but he's a Welshman over there, and he's trying to teach English to our cousins in these other lands. Ella has sent in here, "Followers of the Way, John 14:16, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." And yeah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Aryan, the white Messiah, not this made-up bullshit story of a Jewish Messiah. So, Again, the program today being welcome to all the new of our brethren who are now not only realizing the importance of the racial aspect of what's going on today, but like so many have done in the past, they get the right racial part right, but because of the mainstream churches, they distance themselves from following the way, which is Messiah, the anointed one. When you bring the two parts together, when you know your racial, quote, identity, and you realize that we are brethren, and that our Father, literally our Father, our Creator, the giver of life, is Yahweh El Shaddai. It is not some Jewish God. They are of their father, Shatan, or Satan. They have no hereafter. They have no relationship. That's why in the Jewish community, they're not allowed to pronounce Yahweh. They're not allowed to pronounce the actual name of the Father. It is forbidden. And they got us to believe it was too sacred. Really? My Father is too sacred to say his name? No. I've been saying it for years, and guess what? I'm still here. But you know, you're right about the Jews. They do not have the right. And a non-believer does not have the right to speak his name. Because when it is invoked, it is to be done with reverence, never half-heartedly, never in a condemning way or condescending way. And a guy put out a video here recently that every breath you take, you say Yahweh, because as you breathe in, it's like Yahweh, Yahweh. The very breathing speaks of the Hebrew, I am. In the Septuagint, when he was speaking to Moses, he said, Ego emi ha'on. Ego emi ha'on. I am the one. Even in the French dictionaries, it's l'éternel for him. That's the name. They don't have Lord, God, or it's l'éternel. The eternal one. Much like Farrar Fenton put in his edition of the scriptures, his translation, the eternal one. We're only here for a short flicker of time, folks. I can't believe how many years have passed in my life. If you think this is all there is to it, shame on you. Glory be to the Father. This is just a test. This is to see who's worthy to go on. After this short little flicker of time down on this earth, we go on the other side. Those who do not pass the test do not go to the other side. And forget this whole thing about hell. Sheol is the grave. Okay? To think that our loving Creator Father is going to torment a soul for eternity is kind of ludicrous. But what is eternal is if he destroys both body and soul. That is forever. Because he created body and soul, body and spirit. And only he can destroy both. This world will destroy the first, the body of corruption, the shell that we walk around in. Yeah, the time will take its toll on that. Because that's the way of the world. That's the way it was created. But the soul that lies within is eternal. If it passes the test. If it passes the test. And yes, I agree with the folks that say, can you come back to this earth more than once? Your Father created the system. Do you think he could recycle you if he wanted to? Well, absolutely he could. But you are not in control of that, and neither am I. Do you want to take the chance that he says that, well, I'll give you one more, I'll send you back. I'll give you another body and send you back and see if your spirit can survive, if it can learn something, because you're pretty dense. I'm sure I know plenty of people that may have been here 50, 60 times, and they still don't get it. They're pretty freaking dense. But again, that's not your call to make, and it's not my call to make. It's sure as hell not the church world call to make. You got to remember, organized religion is just a control mechanism. It's no different than man-made government. It is a control mechanism to get you to believe that somebody has authority to tell you what's good and what's bad and what you have to do and what you can't do. It's control. Man-made religion, man-made government are two wings on the same bird. The real faith is in a loving Father Creator. It is a relationship thing. It has nothing to do with a brick-and-mortar building, and certainly not a pompous ass in robes standing behind a pulpit claiming to be the representative of our Father. Most of them are preaching the doctrines of devils. And who are the devils? Well, Christ said it was those folks that do the work of the devil. Today, we call them Jews. Antichrists. What group of people has a religion based on condemning the Messiah? There's only one. Judaism. At least the other religions acknowledge that Messiah, Yeshua HaMashiach, was at the very least a great man and a prophet. It is the Jews who call him the son of a whore, that say he is being eternally cooked in a vat full of human waste because he's so detestable. Their very religion is Antichrist. And yet, we've got people saying, well, these are God's chosen people, Dan. Yeah, they're chosen all right. The prophet Obadiah and Ezekiel told us what they're chosen for. Annihilation. Well, Dan, that sounds anti-Semitic. Are you anti-Semitic, Dan? No, I just know how to read the Bible. I read the scripture and I understand what it says. Ezekiel and Obadiah and even Malachi refers to it. There are wicked, evil people walking this earth that will be at some point when the sons of the Almighty finally get their heads out of their asses, that these people will be removed from this world. Now, if you don't think that's true, then you need to be honest and take your Bibles outside and put them in a burn barrel and set them on fire, because you don't believe it anyway. So why are you carrying it around? So don't look to me and don't criticize me and try to use an ad hominem attack against me. I'm just telling you what's in the book. You can believe it or not believe it. I really don't care. To be quite honest, I do not care. I stand in front of the Father all alone on that day. All alone. And so will you. So you can blame anybody you want for your condition in this world. You can look around and try to point fingers all you want, and you're going to have a righteous Father from that throne staring at you like you have never been stared at in your life. And he will ask for an accounting of what you did with the life I gave you. We've said it on this program many times. Yahweh's gift to you and I is life itself, a chance to be here and do something. And what you do with that life is your gift back to him. And as the men are coming together now, finally, the men are starting to coalesce into this righteous army. You see, we had lots of people talking about posses and posse comitatus and militia and all that for years. But they left out the righteous army aspect. It was all political. It was all that we got to save the nation. I got news for you. You're not going to save this nation that's called United States of America. You're not going to save it. It's corrupt. It's rotten. It's bitter fruit. But that doesn't mean the sovereign states can't survive. Each state of this union is sovereign. That's why each state has its own governor and Supreme Court and legislature. It is built on an identical framework. And we get to get this idea of our states have to come back under the common law, the biblical common law, with common law courts and at the county level working with righteous sheriffs. We talked about the fact the very word sheriff comes from Anglo-Saxon the Middle Ages in England. It was the Shire Reef, or Reef of the Shire. Reef was their name for the highest level official within the Shire, which would be equivalent to our county. So the Reef of the Shire. He adjudicated things. He kept the law for the king. He was the most powerful official at that level. And that's where we get our English word sheriff today, the Shire Reef. So we can get back to our roots, which are based on biblical common law. It's called common law because it's biblical. People try to make it like it's a separate thing. It's not. The common law is the biblical law. It was called common because everybody in the community knew it, even if they didn't have a Bible. Why? Because Yahweh said, I put my laws on their hearts. If you're a white man, if you're true to the Father and to your DNA, when you see a white woman with another race, every molecule in your body should scream out. I know mine does. And that's without even looking at a Bible. I don't need a Bible to know that that's wrong. When I see a man raping a woman, my instinct from the time I was a little boy, my instinct would be to go up to that guy and put a bullet in his head. I don't need a Bible. I don't need a church to understand that simple rule. Anybody raping another individual is a violation. And our Heavenly Father says that person should die. Yeah. Think how much better this world would be if we just followed the biblical law. When you see somebody murdering somebody else, taking an innocent life, do you need any kind of scripture to know it's wrong? That that person needs to die? I'd have no problem putting a noose around their neck, putting a knife into their chest, or putting a bullet into their head. Wouldn't bother me at all. Somebody that would kidnap somebody. Again, a violation, a threat. Could traumatize somebody for the rest of their life. Yahweh says, put him to death. A traitor, put him to death. And even scripture says, a race mixer, put him to death. It's what it says. There was a day when that's exactly what happened. And if you don't think that's true, go in your Bibles and look up the story of Phineas. If you haven't read that story, shame on you. You should know that story by heart. So when you play around with our Father's law, it's only because the Jews, with their demonic system of law, has turned everything upside down. Most of the people walking on this earth wouldn't be alive if Yahweh's law was implemented, and most of the criminals would be dead. They wouldn't be out here doing repeat criminal activity because they'd be dead. And we wouldn't have to pay for all these courts and all these cops and all these prisons and corrections officers. We wouldn't need them. And life and society would be 1,000 times better. But instead, we think we need to follow these Jews and their courts and their millions of pieces of legislation, which is all anti-Christ, anti-Yahweh, anti-white men. And also, I want the white men to understand that it's time that we become lions again. We're not sheep. We're not lambs. We're lions. We're meant to be in charge. And this world will never get fixed until the righteous men of Yahweh become the rulers and adjudicators of this world. We're the only ones who are qualified. And I know a lot of you, like me, don't think we're worthy. I know I'm not worthy of it. But that's the way he made it. That's the way he made it, and it's the only way that's going to work. So get used to it, guys. get used to it. That's what we're here for. We're going to be called forth in the very near future to our destiny, and we have to be ready for it. Heart, mind, body, and soul, you have to be ready. We're at a critical, critical point on the timeline of this world. The fact that you're hearing this message means you're part of His plan. He does not send His word forth without it bringing fruit home. We're all here for a reason. And you find your life gets so much better when you stop fighting your destiny. Stop fighting and trying to control everything in your life and accept what Father has given you. Accept your position. Accept your responsibility. And for you white guys, you are to be the leaders in your home. Well, actually, leader of your own body first, to make sure your lusts and your desires don't do your thinking for you, but your heart that belongs to the Father. And then you are to be the leader of your household, and then the leader of your communities. The leaders for our race. Scripture says that our people are looking for a banner, a standard, because we live in a world where there's no accountability and no standards. It's a free-for-all. They're looking for standards, like little children. Children need structure. They need standards. It is a chaotic nightmare when there are no standards. And we as a people, we are as His children. We need standards. Our people are screaming for standards. Well, guys, you're it. Are you ready for that? Can you step up to the plate and be ready? Have you been practicing, as our baseball coach used to say? When you step up to the batter's box, there should be hours of practice before you go up in the game to the batter's box for the team. And we're getting close to game time here, whether you want to make the analogy of baseball or football. The enemy has been running the show on the field of battle probably for centuries, maybe even thousands of years. It's time for the righteous army, the men of Yahweh, to lock arms and join on the field of battle and bring this beast system to heel so that this poor world can be set right again. And the people of this world could live in peace and harmony as He meant it to be. And the animals and the vegetation could return to organic soil and exist in a world as He intended it, rather than this upside-down dystopia that the enemies of Yah have created. Heavy material to think about, folks, but there is great reward for the overcomers, for those who overcome the temptations of this world and come back to our Heavenly Father. Praise Yah. Dear Heavenly Father Yahweh, we give You the praise, the glory, and the honor this day and every day. We thank You for the changes that are happening, for the righteous that are stepping up, for the hearts of our people turning away from Babylon and seeking You, the source, the rock of our refuge. You and You alone can bring us through this tumultuous sea, the fires of judgment that are about to fall upon this world. In You is our sanctuary. In You is our ark. And we work together as a family. No matter what language, no matter what land that we find ourselves in, we are Your children upon this world. We ask first for forgiveness. We have failed You in so many ways. Reach down and touch our souls, Father Yahweh. Give us a heart of purity, a heart that cares, has empathy for our people, for those that will listen, to reach out and pull them up out of the muck and the mire of this sick, sad world, and bring them home like the prodigal son. Bring them to you and bring them into this family that is collecting of righteous individuals, very similar to Noah and his family in that day. This is a sick, sick world. We pray for the protection, a hedge of protection and guardian angels to watch over your righteous upon this earth. We pray for the men who are learning how to be lions again, that we will be ready in the day of testing, that we will be part of the overcomers. We pray a curse upon all of your enemies, Father Yahweh. We pray a curse that they be destroyed and tormented. We pray that they eventually will be utterly destroyed. Until that day, Father, we ask for your blessing on this and every day, that we would do right by you and your law and by each other. Help us and guide us in all that we say and do to thy glory and for thy kingdom. And as always, we ask for protection against those who hate us without a cause, those who would be counted as our enemies. We ask all this in Yahweh's precious name. Hallelujah.
life to pass away. But life presents such possibilities each and every day. I heard a calling that was right for me. I prayed for strength for what's ahead of me. Show me. The sun rose high and burnt the night away. Who stood before me was my enemy.
Don't tread on me.
He's come to take away my liberties. I'd rather die than be a slave to thee.
Don't tread on me this way.
I'd rather die. Brothers, they lay dead by me. Hit them hard, we made them pay that day. We hung the traitors from the highest tree. Lost a lot, our pain was heavy. We sacrificed for God and country.
No more coming.
Still held the ground that was in front of me. This was the price to pay for liberty.
Still you hear me say,
I'd rather die than be your slave.
Ah. awake, O Israel. Rise from your slumber, and the truth shall set you free. From out of Zion comes your Redeemer in the year of Jubilee. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise Yahweh. From out of Zion comes your Redeemer in the year of Jubilee. Thou art my chosen, for I have called thee. Thou art graven on my hand, and I will gather all those who gather. They will possess their land. Sing hallelujah, sing hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise Yahweh. From out of Zion comes your Redeemer in the year of Jubilee. Out from the furnace, out of affliction, I have chosen thee, behold. And for your iron, I'll give you silver. For your brass, I'll give you gold. Awake, America. Rise from your slumber, and the truth shall set you free. Hosanna. From out of Zion comes your Redeemer in the year of Jubilee. In the year of Jubilee. Hallelujah, hallelujah, pray, hallelujah, hallelujah, pray, hallelujah, hallelujah, pray, hallelujah.
Out on the hills of glory, guess who called me the other day? A TV reporter from down in L.A. He said he heard a song a little while ago on some obscure talk radio show. Then he asked if I was the writer of the music I just mentioned in the lyrics above. But now that I look back at the wisdom I lacked, I probably never should have said too much. And as he pressured me to share with him a word or two, and we carried on our telephonic interview, a wee still voice inside my head was saying, you're gonna be sorry for every word you just said. Then sure enough, right after he was through, he slandered and defamed me on the evening news. I should have listened instead to the voice inside my head, 'cause here's what it said to me. You don't go casting your pearls before swine, 'cause they're only gonna trample them into the muck and grime. And when they're through, they'll turn on you and burn you every time. So don't go casting your pearls before swine. And when I went off to sing a song in Washington, I was hounded by those dirty dogs at CNN, who said they wanted to do a favor for me by giving me a little free publicity. I should have never let them turn their lying cameras on, 'cause when the cutting and the editing was finally done, they put horns on my head by changing everything I said. They made me sound like the devil's own son. So you don't go casting your pearls before swine, 'cause they're only gonna trample them into the muck and grime. And when they're through, they'll turn on you and smear you every time. So don't go casting your pearls before swine. Now there's ABC, and then there's NBC, and CBS, and CNN, the New York Times, the LA Times, and the Washington Post are just a few of the most porkiest people. NBC called to let me know they were gonna use the music on a TV show. They were gonna use the song I wrote about the wrong that happened up in Ruby Ridge, Idaho. But then they got a threatening letter from the ADL that said, you use that kind of music, we'll make your life hell. Then they dropped me off the show, and now I think I know why the music doesn't sell that well. So you don't go casting your pearls before swine, 'cause they're only gonna trample them into the muck and grime. And when they're through, they'll turn on you and rip you every time. So don't go casting your pearls before swine. No, you don't go casting your pearls before swine. I said you don't go casting your pearls to them sanctimonious media boys and girls. You don't go casting your pearls before swine.